quite a single room for having me here tonight, as well as all of the other fine artists. The Australian Open started 4 days ago. Djokovic, looking for three in a row, is virtually unstoppable. In his last two matches, the depths of his returns have been absolutely inhuman. He attributes his ascension to number one to going gluten-free and the pride he felt after winning the Davis Cup for his home country, Serbia. Let's hope no French journalist asks him again about his opinions on the trial of Radovan Karadžić. Novak doesn't talk about politics, he's a sportsman. Mon Fils the showman wins a thriller, but he's got to watch that his clowning around doesn't steal focus, especially after his strange quit in Doha after being given a time violation. I take longer because I sweat so much because I'm black, he said. On the women's side, hopefully Azarenka won't be getting any bad pedicures down under. Remember, that was the excuse she used for skipping Kuyang last week. Sam Stosur, 5-2 up in the third over Xi Jiang, blows it 7-5. The crowds have come to expect her choking. The pressure of playing in front of the home crowd has always been too much for her. And what about old Rusty, local hero Hewitt in his 12th consecutive appearance? Long forgiven for the racist remarks at the 2001 US Open, he's just revealed his new line of sportswear called Come On! Hewitt had too much to handle from number 8 Janko Tipsarevic. In Janko's post-game news conference, he was asked about one of his many tattoos. It's Japanese for Love Will Save the World. Murray, the dour Scot and first-hand survivor of the Dunk Lane school massacre, wins easily but somehow still manages to make it look painful. He points both index fingers to the sky and looks up after every win. He won't tell the press what he's doing if he's pointing to God or to a dead loved one. Sharapova has recorded the first two in a row double bagel since 1985. That's six love, six love, six love. Her new candy line, Sugarpova, with flavor choices such as sour and tasty and flirty, is selling with little marketing. Taking $1.39 from every $5.99 bag, she's already made her first million. Next up for her will be Venus, back in form after a drop to number 25 following a diagnosis of an autoimmune disease called Sjögren's syndrome. And Roger, well, we all knew he would win his opening round handily, but we all watched anyway, just because you never tire of seeing him play. His one-handed backhand is poetry. Those weren't found words from tennis blogs. Sadly, those were my own words. Is Federer's one-handed backhand poetry? Well, Jenny Hendricks, in her article for The New Yorker in 2010 called Lyric Poems, suggests that most of us casually use the term poetry to refer to almost anything we consider beautifully made, from a cake to a sunset to a well-executed double salchow. But in the same article, she cites Kevin Young, who's writing for Book Forum, and suggests that such an expansion of the term risks reducing poetry to little more than a free-floating feeling. I would posit that while there is poetry in Federer's backhand, in a triple axel, in the movement and color and symmetry of nature, and while there is poetry in beautiful written prose, a joke perfectly delivered, a screenplay, a Broadway musical, a rhythmic spoken word piece, sound poetry, sound design made from electronic samples, and song lyrics, while there is poetry in all of these worlds, none of these examples are poems. Song lyrics may be poetry, but they aren't poems. They are indeed song lyrics. Former U.S. poet laureate Billy Collins told the Wall Street Journal, "Lyrics just don't hold up without music." Adding that when his students argue for the literary merit of song lyrics, "I assure them that Jim Morrison is not a poet in any sense of the word." Now, again, I would argue this point and say, sometimes lyrics do hold up without music. But my question would be, why do we want them to? Why do we need them to? Take any of the older guard of songwriters that have a full body of work behind them, and who many consider, particularly those in the music industry, as poets, such as Bob Dylan or Joni Mitchell or Leonard Cohen or Patti Smith, and sure, their lyrics hold up on the page without doubt and far from being cringe-worthy and laughable as many song lyrics are. I would suggest that on the page, some of these